that is obtainable. We can have strength because we're already strong. We manage a household every day. We don't get a break from it, right? So motherhood for most women used to be the job that we looked forward to. Most women in society were like, yes. You ask a little girl in kindergarten, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a mommy, because that's the normal thing that a little girl would want to be, or maybe a princess. I mean, you know, that'd be nice too, because then you could hand the mommying off to someone else. No, I'm just teasing. Not really. But that was something that all little girls sort of looked forward to. I want to be a mommy. I want to be a wife. I want to do that. And women embraced it, and they rolled with the punches. Our moms, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, that was just what they were expected to do for the most part. And today, my sermon is titled, It Takes a Village. And that is not a political statement, in case anybody was wondering. But it does. It takes a village to raise a child. That is actually, that is a old African proverb. And that is a proverb that was very important back in the day, because that was what life was like. People lived in villages. Everybody kind of pitched in and helped. The women would stay home in the village, and they would take care of the village while the men went out and hunted. And while the men provided for their families, the women were cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids and training the kids, raising them up so they knew what to do. And the women in the villages would help each other. It was very common up until probably 50 years ago or 60 years ago. It was very common for women in villages or towns or neighborhoods to kind of pitch in and help their fellow moms. They'd say, hey, I'm going to run to the grocery store. Will you keep an eye on Susie and Tommy over here? And sure, no big deal. I'll watch them. They can play with the other kids in the yard. It was so common. But as time has gone on, a lot has changed. We don't have that. We don't live in small towns anymore very much. If we do, we kind of live on the outskirts. Like South Lyon here has a downtown area, but only a few people really live in downtown. Most of them live further out. And so we have a different feel about motherhood and a different feel about community. It's not like it used to be. Being a mother has not necessarily become easier. It's, in fact, become a lot harder. The job is a really tough one. Much of the child rearing is still the mother's responsibility. That's not to diminish the importance of the role of the father, but it's the truth. The mom is responsible for many things. Carrying the child for 9 months, give or take a few weeks, unfortunately. Labor and delivery of the child, that's a lot of hard work. Feeding and care of the child, yeah, the dads help. That's wonderful. We appreciate that. It's wonderful. But today we're celebrating moms, so I'm probably going to lean a little more in the mom's camp, okay? The mother is responsible for the child's general well-being, the emotional and the physical, and many times the spiritual care of the child. And that's because the fathers are working. The fathers are doing their thing, and the mothers are doing their thing. But we have those responsibilities that have not changed over the decades. However, we've added to our list for moms. Today in America, 70% of mothers with children under 18 participate in the labor force, with over 75% employed full-time. Mothers are the primary or sole earners for 40% of the households with children under 18 today, compared with 11% in 1960. That's a whole lot of working moms. And in this church alone, most of our moms are working moms. They work hard every week, and they still take care of their kids. I recently read an article by Beth Berry, and I sort of stumbled upon it by accident online, and it's called It Takes a Village. And I was really kind of surprised at the pressures that today's society has inadvertently put on parents, and especially on the mother. Beth says this in her article, though the proverb "it takes a village to raise a child" has become cliche, the impact of our villageless realities is anything but insignificant. It's wreaking havoc on our quality of life in countless ways. And then she goes on to say, in the absence of the village or in the absence of your community and your neighborhood or what have you, she lists several things. Enormous pressure is put on parents as we try to make up for what entire communities used to provide. Our priorities become distorted and unclear as we attempt to meet so many conflicting needs at once. We feel less safe and more anxious without the known boundaries, expectations, and support of a well-known group of people with whom to grow. So our anxieties, and you know that, I mean, we see that all the time. More people have panic attacks. More people are overprotective of their children, or afraid to let their kids go out on their own and do so. I'm one of them, and I admit it wholeheartedly. I have anxieties about my kids and how are they going to succeed and you know, what's going to happen when they try to go out on their own. That it's a little nerve-wracking because we're sort of providing everything. She goes on to say, we're forced to create our tribes during seasons of our life when we have the least time and energy to do so because all the moms are working. And so, but it's the time where we have to rear our children. It's the time where we have to train them and teach them how to grow up. And but we're balancing a job, and we're balancing our home responsibilities, and we're balancing a community service of some kind. If you volunteer somewhere or you try to, you know, we want to do things for people, but our time is so consumed. our children's natural way of being is compromised. Most neighborhoods and communities no longer contain packs of roaming children. When I was a kid, now I grew up in a little bit of a bad neighborhood, so I wasn't really allowed to roam very far. my street was not well known for child safety, so we basically stuck close to home. But I'd go to friends' houses that lived in slightly better neighborhoods, and we'd ride our bikes around the block, or we'd play hide and seek in the dark in the neighborhood because everybody was looking out for everybody else. We don't have that anymore. Most of us don't even live in a neighborhood, or if we do, we don't know our neighbors because our neighbors are kind of busy doing the same thing we're doing. they're going to work and working 8 hours and then coming home and taking their kid to soccer and then going from there to dance class and then getting food somewhere along the way. I mean, most of us don't even sit down for dinner at the table anymore. So the article goes on and on and on. It lists a lot of things I don't have time to cover. But I want to focus on 3 points today. The first point is that mothers in 2019 have to make up for the things our society lacks. That's something we have to do if we want our children to succeed. And we don't have a village anymore. We don't have a town anymore. We don't have a community anymore. Even our community centers, even like this VFW hall, most of the time, there's only a handful of people here. They all know each other, and they all do the same thing every week. Halls like this used to be the norm, where the town would come, they'd gather, they'd have different functions, everybody'd come together. We don't have that anymore. And our responsibilities have grown into overwhelming mountains. I mean, we just don't have time to rest. We don't have time to do anything for ourselves. And our children's needs have changed. We now have more physically, mentally, and emotionally challenged children than ever before. And part of that is just because of the way our society is. Our kids don't have a place to plug in. They don't have a place to go and hang out with their peers very rarely, except school. Or if they're in a sport or what have you. But at the same time, here's the mom or the dad, a lot of times the mom, taking the kids from thing to thing to thing to thing, trying to get them plugged in. We just have vastly different needs than we did 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 30 years ago. And somehow we, as the feminine role models in our children's lives, have to balance care of our children, care of the home, our careers or our businesses, and the spiritual well-being of our family. That's a lot to balance. When I started listing this off, I was like, whoa, that is a heavy load. Because I don't work out of the home, but I do work on the side, and it keeps me busy. And then I'm now a pastor's wife, and that keeps me busy. And I homeschool my kids, and I volunteer at the Livonia Church. And there's all of these things that pile on me, and I don't even have to work outside of the home. And I'm thankful for that. That's a blessing. But how on earth do we accomplish this list, especially if we have jobs and careers? Is there a way to create a village where there is none? I think there is. The Bible is always the book we should turn to for parenting advice, marriage advice, spiritual advice, health advice. I believe that Jesus is always the answer. So what do we do? What do we do to fix the stuff that we have to fix? And how do we balance it? And where do we go? Number one, I think we need to learn to be honest with ourselves and admit that we don't always have what it takes to juggle all these things without help. We just don't. I mean, our families look different than they used to. People are having children into their 40s, which means that their parents are more elderly and less able to help with the kids. And so we have to juggle things that we didn't used to have to juggle. We used to be able to say, hey, Mom, will you watch the kids? Because I'm going to go do such and such, or I have to go to work, or whatever. And we can't really do that anymore. I mean, I have friends that are still having kids, and I'm 41. And they're, you know, on kid number two, and planning three and four, and they're, you know, and I'm over here going, whoa, I don't know how you're going to do that. But we are strong. Yes, we are. Very strong. And resilient. We're independent, we're capable, but there is no reason whatsoever to cause ourselves mental and emotional anguish because we don't want to admit that we might need some help. We should be reaching out, and we need to create a village somehow, some way. That's what we need to do, because we need to be able to reach out to our other moms and make a community. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In other words, anything is possible with God. Anytime we feel overwhelmed as a mom, and let me tell you, now that I have teenagers, whoo, that's more often than I'd like to admit. I feel sometimes overwhelmed or scared or worried. What's going to happen to them? Am I doing enough? Am I teaching them the stuff they need to learn? I don't know, because they need to learn different things than I had to learn. So now I have to go and I have to Google, okay, what do I do in this situation? And how do I train my children to respond in this situation? I mean, in our schools, the kids are learning how to fend off shooters, for heaven's sakes. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, the stuff we have to think about as mothers that our moms never even had to worry about. Our moms didn't have to think about this. So we have all of these things, and it causes us more anxiety, less sleep, more worry, more concern. But I'd like to say to you that anytime we feel overwhelmed, anytime we feel scared or worried, we can go to God in prayer, and He will answer us. He's there for us. The second thing we need to realize is that in decades past, America was a Christian nation. Children grew up on the church pew. Almost all kids went to church 50 years ago. They went to church on Sundays if they didn't go any other time. And they sat on the pew, and they heard the word of God. They had Christian parents, or at least professing Christian parents. Maybe they didn't always act as Christians, but they knew who God was. They had Christian teachers, they had Christian towns, they had Christian families. We don't have that anymore. Now it's up to us, and it's completely up to us, totally up to us parents, moms, and dads. We have to teach our children how to be a Christian. We have to teach our children how important church is and how important our church community is, because these are the people that we can count on. These are the people we can lean on if we really need help. And our kids are not going to learn about it in school. They're not going to learn about it at soccer practice. They're not going to learn about it in their gymnastics class. They're not going to learn anything about God outside of our homes and outside of our church. We need to make it a very high priority to teach our children that going to the house of God is important. Every week, every time the doors open, if possible. Now, if you have a fever and your kid's been throwing up, please stay home. I'm just saying, please stay home until your kid's done throwing up, and 24 hours later, come to church. That's how we do things around here, okay? Because we don't want the whole church throwing up and sick. Please stay home. Use some common sense. But as often as you can, get your children to church. Get them in youth service. Get them in Sunday school. These are important things. These are how we're going to teach our kids to have moral character. And it's up to us. Your kids need to be in the midst of like-minded people. That's what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it like-mindedness. We need to be in unity. We need to show them that they can have friends who look like them, who talk like them, who believe like they believe. That doesn't mean all their friends have to be that way. They're going to have friends at school. They're going to have friends in their sports classes, whatever they're doing. But they need to have a circle of friendship within the church so that they can grow strong together and they can learn how to behave in a Christian atmosphere, because we don't know how to even teach that to our kids anymore. We're so scattered. We don't know what we're doing. So this is something we have to work on as moms, especially, because a lot of the time we're the ones talking to our kids, especially if you have daughters. You're the ones talking to your daughters and saying, this is proper behavior. This is the kind of man you want to look for when you're going to grow up and start dating and want to get married. And boys, you need to look for the right kind of girl. And girls got to look for the right kind of boy, or it's you're going to have a rougher life. Let me just tell you right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 say this. This is the New Living Translation. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. The church can be and should be our village. This is our community. This is where we need to be, especially now as the end times are approaching, or we might be in them. I don't know. That depends on your point of view. I think we're in the end times, and I think our kids need to feel safe, and they need to know who to turn to. Ladies, we need each other. We need each other very badly. I need friends. I need people I can call and say, hey, I'm having a rough day. Can you pray for me? Would you pray for my child so that I don't hurt them today? Because they're driving me crazy. And I'm a homeschooling mom, so there are a lot of those days. In the absence of an actual village, your church family can step in and be your emotional and spiritual support. It should step in. This is part of the plan of God. We're designed to need each other, and we need people to help us. And there's nothing wrong with that. The last thing we need to do as mothers is this. We must keep up on our own spiritual well-being. We cannot do this if we're weak in our spirits. We all go through dry, desert places in the spirit, times when you're emotionally drained. You have nothing left to give. That is very common, especially for moms who are working and juggling all this stuff. This is probably the hardest thing for us to do, is to keep up our own spiritual well-being, because it's hard to find the time to do that. It's really hard to find the time. I don't get a lot of time to myself during the day. When Pastor Scott gets home from work, I'm like, okay, he's home. That's great. Can you help Kelsey with her math? And I have to remember that he needs rest time too. He's got to have downtime as well. And so we have to balance all this stuff. Sometimes the math doesn't get done till 9 o'clock at night or what have you. And that's because finally he's rested, and I go lock myself in my bathroom and say, I am locking myself away. I'm going to take a bubble bath. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take time by myself because I don't have it a lot of the time otherwise. The Bible tells us that we need time to pray, and we need time to pray by ourselves. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. So mamas, it might be the middle of the day if you're a stay-at-home mom or you have a day off, and you might just need to tell your kid, I'm going to go sit in my room for 5 or 10 minutes and take some deep breaths, and you need to go to your room for 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll come back later and do whatever we were doing. But take time to shut that door and pray. God hears you. God hears you when you pray. He hears your voice. He knows who you are. He created you. He knew you before you were created. And he has a plan for you as a mom and as a woman and as a career person. God has a plan for your life, and he cares. After you're done praying, if you still don't feel peaceful and you don't feel like anything was really solved, text a friend. Please call somebody. Say, you know what? I'm at my wit's end today. Can you please, please, please just take a couple minutes and pray for me? I've done that. And let me tell you, it makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference because I can unload a little bit of the burden that I am carrying. And I can ask for someone to please just say a prayer for me today because I'm having a rough day. And you don't have to tell them what's going on. You don't have to give them any details. Just say, I know you're my sister. You're from church. I know you care about me. Pray for me, please. We're in this together. If the musicians would come, I'm going to start closing this down. But we are the village. This church is the village. This church is the community. This church is our town. This church is our family. A lot of us don't have our parents around, or they've passed away. We don't have siblings nearby, or maybe we don't have siblings. I moved away from my parents, and let me tell you, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be because I was in the same town with them. I could call them up, and now I can call them up, but they live an hour away, and they can't just come and help me if I need help. So this church needs to be my village. This needs to be the place where I come when I need strength, when I need help, when I need somebody to just give me a hug and pray for me. And we can do this, ladies. We can do this. We can raise our children to be good apostolic Christian people. We can do it. It's going to take a whole lot of work and a whole lot of prayer. But if we join together, we can do it. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. The Bible's very clear that as a church community, we need to lean on each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to take each other's burdens on and help each other to the finish line. We're going to make it. It's going to be great. Our kids are going to be in church. I believe it. I believe it. At the beginning of the sermon, I read Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. Ladies, you're strong. You're honorable. Today we honor you because of what you do, because you work so hard, and you love your children, and you love your families, and you take such good care of them. And I'm proud of you standing here and looking out. I know all of you, and I know what you do every day. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to call you my friends and my sisters because I believe that God's going to do great things in your families. I would like us all to come to the front if we would, and I'd like our ladies just to kind of line up here in front, and I want our men and our kids to stand behind, and Pastor Scott, I just want you to anoint all the moms today if you would. I want to pray over them. I want to pray that God would just strengthen us, that he'd be our rock. let he be the one that we lean on, because he's there for you. When you don't feel strong, he's there for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for these ladies today, God. We pray that you would strengthen them, Jesus. God, we pray that you would lift their burdens, Jesus. God, help us to be balanced. Help us to be emotionally strong and spiritually strong. Jesus, help us to lean on you and to lean on each other. You're a mighty God. We lift you up today, Jesus, and we thank you for what you're going to do in this church, in our village here, God. Thank you for Family Apostolic Church. Thank you for the unity that we feel in this place. God, thank you for the good things you're going to do. You're such a mighty God. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be strong in you, Jesus. Give us the answers when our kids come to us with questions, Lord. Let us turn to you, Jesus, before we do anything else. Let your anointing rest on these ladies as they go from this place today, God. Keep your hand on them, Lord. Bless them, Jesus. Bless them with peace of mind, God, and strengthen their bodies, Jesus.